It's been a good week. It's also been a tiring week. It's a good week because I was able to, Laurie and I flew on Tuesday morning to, or Monday night to Atlanta to spend some time with a mentor of mine for a few days just to kind of see how he does it, right? He's been a preaching minister for a long time, and so we were blessed to be able to spend time with them. But in that, you always have this moment, you know, you have to fly. And when you fly, you're at the mercy of the airline. And when you're at the mercy of the airline, you get to the airport and you think, I've got a little time to eat. And so Laurie and I sat at a sushi place and we were waiting and this people came up to us. And by the way, if you're thinking sushi at an airport, that sounds terrible. You know, you might be right. But we sat at the airport, we're waiting, and the lady comes up and says, hey, it's taking a little while, it's going to be 45 minutes for the sushi. I look at the clock, I'm like, yeah, we should be okay. Because to know Laurie and I is to know that we believe that the best way to travel is to be the last people on the plane as they're shutting the door because we hate to wait. So we're fine, and then I look at the clock, it pops up on a notification that our flight has been delayed another 2+ hours. And so then I look at the waitress and say, well, we're really fine now, so whatever it takes. But we got in late, early Friday morning, and then we started family retreat Friday afternoon, and it was a wonderful family retreat. There's a group still coming back right now, Justin and a group of families who spent the night there, but it's been great. And if you notice that one picture right there of Isaac and I just passed out, That may sum up how we both felt about halfway through the day on Saturday. But pray for them as they come back and as they head back this way. I ask that you pray for me because I think I've already this morning, Laurie and I got up. She had to work today, and we jumped up because we slept through the alarm for her, which put us already in a bad mood. I think I've bitten my daughter's head off already once, and I've gotten annoyed by a conversation, and it's all my part of being tired. So it's nothing. So if I sound upset with you, I am not. It's just I think I finally hit a wall. But that is neither here nor there. I just me repenting of my sins over the last 24 hours. But it's good to be here. And if you've been with us over the last 6 weeks, you know that we have been in a table series. We've been looking at the many different sections of text in Luke, in which Luke gives us Jesus sitting at a table, and we have these table discourses. And throughout this series, we've noticed a few things. A couple of things we've witnessed as Jesus has sat at a table is we've noticed that Jesus eats with everyone. We've also noticed that when it comes to Jesus sitting at a table, he notices everything, and everyone is someone at the table. No one is no one. Everyone is a human being as they sit at the table with Jesus. And what we noticed a couple weeks ago is when we say someone, like that one Pharisee did as he's sitting at the table and says, blessed is anybody who eats bread at the table of God, what Jesus said is, you're right, that someone means all. That we don't have the right or the privilege to deny anybody access to the table. And we've noticed this throughout the discourse as Jesus is sitting there. And today, we are going to enter into a text that is familiar with all of us. We're going to enter into a text in which we just got done participating in, not a few minutes ago, as Steve led us through that. And it's going to be a text that is familiar to all of you. And so I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Luke 22. Starting in verse 14, and we're going to read from 14 to 27. And again, it's going to be familiar to you. You're going to, right when we start reading it, you're going to know this passage well. But I want to take away a few things from today. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me. Whoa. That was freakish. Hold on, give me a minute. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute among them arose as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Now, what has been interesting is over the last few weeks, we have been following Jesus. We have been sitting at a table with Jesus. In every one of these tables that we have sat at with Jesus, Jesus has not been the host. Remember, it's been other people who have been the host. And Jesus has been that very annoying guest who basically takes over the conversation. And so we've seen that Jesus has sat with tax collectors. He has sat with Pharisees. He has sat with scribes. He has sat and been a guest at a table. And every time as a guest, Jesus kind of hijacks the conversation a little bit. But this one is different. I want you to notice, because this table, Jesus is the host. We begin to see that from the very beginning as Luke kind of points this out to us. And Luke says that when the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. Odds are Jesus is the host. It's Jesus who sat at the head of the table, the apostles sitting around Jesus. And what do we begin to notice about this table? This table is very much the table that Jesus has been talking about throughout this entire discourse. That as we notice what's happening around this table, and as they all sit down, Jesus sits with a tax collector. He sits with the man who's about to betray him. He sits with a bunch of guys who have completely missed the point over the entire journey they have been with Jesus. And we notice about in verse 24, what do they start doing? After all Jesus says, here is my body, here is my blood, here is myself broken and poured out for you, take and eat, take and drink, and it's not 3 minutes after the cup gets around that what do we notice happens? They all start trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom of God. This is the table that Jesus sets before us. This is the table in which Jesus breaks off a piece of bread and offers it as his body. And notice, he hands it to all. So even Judas takes the body and blood of Jesus in this moment. Now, we would be thinking, why would you ever even invite Judas if you know this is going to happen, Jesus? But Jesus still invites Judas to sit and eat and drink. Peter and all the other apostles who are fighting and getting on about all of this. Before that, Jesus does what? He breaks bread, pours wine, and hands it to the disciples. A text that is memorable to all of us, a text that we notice, Jesus is the host. We have to look at that. And Jesus embodies at his table everything that he has tried to get them to understand to this point. As Jesus has been the unwelcomed guest most of the time at the table, Jesus is now the host, and Jesus invites all of these people to come sit. And Jesus invites them, as he invites them to come and sit and eat, he invites the tax collector, he invites the betrayer, and he invites the power hungry to to this table. And in this table that we all just participated in not a few minutes ago, a table in which Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We are reminded that as Jesus sits at this table, that they are looking at the Passover right at them. That they are mimicking the Passover meal. And as they mimic the Passover meal, what are they doing? They are remembering what God did for the people of God in Egypt. So they are remembering that God liberated the people. And they are remembering of God's mighty act put them in this place. And they are hoping that God's mighty act will once again liberate them as well. And so when we sit around the Lord's table, we remember. It's one of the things we put it on all of our, a good Church of Christ communion table will have what? Right, do this in remembrance of me. They're on all of them. Because why? We want to remember what God through Christ did for us. But it's not 3 minutes after Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," that we see the disciples arguing over who is the most powerful. And by the way, it didn't stop there. We go just a few years later. We go a few years later to 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 23. It's a text that we read all the time. And what do we see Paul saying to him? "For I received from the Lord what I also handed to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. So examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you who are weak and ill and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters," and here's the point that they completely missed, right? This is the point. Here is the disciples arguing about who is the greatest. "So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Because if you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your own condemnation. About other things, I will give instructions when I come." But it's not a few years after this, right? The Corinthian community is being formed. They are partaking in the table of the Lord. And what does Paul notice that they're doing? That their remembrance has gone astray. And in fact, they're remembering. I would say that they probably are remembering, and they're being told to remember. But they're remembering in a way that's not doing what the Lord's table was supposed to do. They're remembering in a way in which some are left outside the table. So when they come, it's already finished. And so really what we see here is the remembering is sticking them still in the past. And what I think Jesus is hoping for is that the remembering that we do at the Lord's table is also a, and I'm going to try to do a little play on words here, a remembering as well. Every Sunday when we come to the table, when we break the bread, we are remembering what God did through Christ, but we are also being remembered back into the body of Christ. We are being pulled back into the body. So as we remember what Jesus did, we are also being invited by the host of this meal, Jesus, to eat and drink once again. And so we are being remembered back in after a week that it has been, after all the things that we have said, all the things that we have done after I just repented 10 minutes ago. Jesus still, what does he do? As the host of the table, he breaks his body and says, come and eat. And he pours the wine into the glass and says, come and drink. Remember what I did, but as you remember, let it bring you back inside of me. And so we all bring our baggage to this table. We bring our baggage from the week to this table. And when we look around this table, even now, we notice there are a whole lot of strange people who are sitting around Jesus' table. We're not all perfect. We don't all have it right. But yet, what does Jesus do? Jesus still offers for us to sit around the table. Jesus says, be remembered back. And as you take this body and this blood of mine, look at your brother and sister next to you. And yeah, they're not perfect. And you may question whether you would let them eat at your table. But honestly, hopefully, as we've gone through this series, you've kind of started to change your mind on that. But they too are what? Being invited to be remembered back into the table. Because it is Jesus who is host of this meal. It is Jesus who is inviting us. And I think sometimes we forget about that because we want to be the host of the meal, right? We want to be the host of Jesus' table. But we have to remember, this is Jesus' table. We are the invited guest. And whatever happens, it is the host who runs the show. It is the host who invites. And we notice as Jesus sits around the table in Luke 22 that if we knew the person was going to betray us, I'm not sure we'd invite him to come eat with us. But what does Jesus do? Come eat. I think if we knew that someone would start a fight in the middle of our dinner over who's going to be powerful, I'm not sure we'd invite him. But Jesus invites. And what we remember with this is, as we remember what Jesus did, as we remember who's hosting at this table, and as we are being remembered back into the body of Jesus, remembering what Jesus does doesn't keep us here. What remembering does is it propels us into a future. Because what do we notice Jesus says here? I won't take this again until the kingdom of God has been fulfilled. I won't eat of this with you again until the kingdom of God is being fulfilled. And so as we remember what Jesus did, as we sit around our table and eat as Jesus is the host, we are also propelled into a future of what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do. And so as gracious guests of this meal, as we sit at Jesus' table, we invite ourselves to eat, but we invite others to eat with us as well. Because our hope is that this table is not just closed off for a select few, but it opens itself up for the sinner, for the downtrodden, for the hurting, even for the one who betrays us, even for the one who would steal from us. We see that Jesus' table is big enough for everyone to sit around. And Jesus embodied this because if Jesus can invite you and me to be back inside his body, then any are welcome. And as Jesus says this to his other guests, as he sits around the table, what we see in Luke 22 is the table that we eat at is the truly embodied table of God. That Jesus was not just saying a bunch of words. It wasn't just to sound good. But when he sits at the Passover meal, he says, notice who sits around me. Notice the guys who sit around me. They are not perfect. They have their issues, but they are my people. And so we remember the cross. We remember the resurrection, but we also remember the future promises that we will once again eat with the Lord. So in the meantime, as we experience the hospitality of God, and that's what we're doing, we experience God's hospitality in our life. We experience it with the full knowledge of the cost of what it took. And so therefore, our tables should never be the same. You can imagine every table that the apostles broke bread afterwards. A loaf was not just a loaf of bread. A cup of wine or juice was not just a cup of juice. We notice that into Acts when we read in Acts 2. When we read that phrase, they broke bread, where does our minds go to? It normally points back to Jesus breaking bread, right? And as we read of them breaking bread in Acts 2, we notice what it says. They broke bread together in Acts 2. And as they did, they shared with one another all who had need. And more came to the table of the Lord as they did this. The table of the Lord continued to grow. Why? Because Jesus doesn't deny anybody from the table. Jesus invites all of us to the table. And so as we think about our own tables of hospitality, when we break bread in our homes, while it's not the Lord's Supper as we say it, it should flash us back to the table of Jesus. Jesus was preparing for us to be people of hospitality. Why? Because we experienced God's hospitality not 15 minutes ago. Luke 22 is big because it's kind of Jesus' calling. He's been showing a table. He's been sitting at a table. He's been sitting at a table. He's been sitting at a table. And then all of a sudden he says, all of this stuff I said, let me tell you, this is my table. And I want you to come and eat and drink. And I want you to invite others to come and eat and drink. Let them get just a taste of what heaven will be like. Let them get just a taste of what reconciliation is like. Remember them back into the body. Let them feel their humanity. Let them be someone. Let them recognize that they're welcome. All of that we see summed up in this one passage. And so as we sit and eat, let us remember. Let us be thankful that we are being remembered. And let us invite others to experience the hospitality of God.